Man, what a version of that, Procol Harum, Whiter Shade of Pale. Whew. Friends of a Colorado man who went missing last month while searching for the now infamous Fenn treasure are asking questions about the strange nature of his disappearance and fearing the worst. Now, Eric Ashby claimed to have solved the mystery of where author Forrest Fenn had allegedly hidden a $2 million cache of riches in the American Southwest. Now, according to one of Ashby's friends, the man and four companions set off to recover the treasure on a journey that included rafting along the Colorado's Arkansas River. The full story right now is over at coasttocoastam.com. You've got to check it out. Nothing like a treasure hunt. And now the mystery. It's all right there. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, sitting in for George Norrie. Friday night, open lines. Your phone calls are next. Stay with us. All right, welcome back, Coast to Coast AM. We were just out east. Let's go out west. Luke in Washington. Luke, you're up next on Coast. Welcome.
Hey, what up, Jimmy? How you doing?
Doing good, Luke. What's on your mind tonight?
So, bear with me for a couple minutes here. So I called because you were talking about the orbs, and a couple of years ago, I guess it was 2010, I live about a half an hour north of where George is in Everett right now,
mm-hmm.
a small town called Day Creek. My dad is actually the pilot that picked up Neil Armstrong out of the ocean.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, totally, man. So he and I, all right, this is like 2010, and we could hear jets. Like, you couldn't see them, but they were almost breaking the sound barrier, you know, just super loud. I mean, so it was just like cutting the air. And so we're looking. We go down our lower field, and to the east, just floating up there, was this orb, you know, just sitting there, this orb. And my dad, you know, he's an old Navy guy, and he just doesn't believe in anything, right? So I'm like, if that thing takes off, you know, it's speed of light, you got to believe here. And then we see a chopper fly by against the mountains, and my dad said, that looks like a special operations chopper. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. So the thing never did move. So fast forward 2 years, a friend of mine's coming up to the house, and I'm outside, and I'm looking off to the west, and I could see, I go, wow, are those a couple of birds or what? And so I'm looking, and then I was like, that's something. So I took off running, just as my buddy pulls down the driveway. So he sees me running like a maniac, you know, to grab some binoculars. And I point to them, I go, look up there, man, and here they come. They were heading up to, I live in the Skagit Valley, and they were heading up the valley. They were heading east in the valley. And, I, of course, I had to grab the crappiest binoculars we got. But I got the binoculars on them, and they looked like I don't know, maybe they were 30 feet in diameter. They were going, you know, as fast as, they're probably going 600 miles an hour, I figure. Silent though, and they were just wisping along the bottom of the clouds. Like, they looked like liquid metal, like the Terminator, man. It was fucking crazy.
Well, yeah. What's interesting about that, you did get binoculars on it. How long did this whole thing last?
So that took quite a while. I mean, they went from I must have watched them travel over like 60 miles, because they were coming from north from Bellingham. They came down, and they were in just perfect formation too, you know, echelon. And they came down to about Mount Vernon, so they traveled probably 30 miles south, and then they started cutting straight across the valley to the east. And yeah, I got up, it was crazy. They were like going through the bottom of the clouds. You could see the clouds licking over them. So I handed the binoculars off to him. I don't know if he saw them, but I'm not sure if he saw them through the binoculars like I did.
Right.
And the crazy thing was, that day, there was a supercell of electricity in the eastern Washington where they were flying towards.
Right.
You know, so I'm just like, I mean, you just got to believe when you see something like that, because I don't think our military has that. They were going, you know, close to speed of sound, but no sound at all. They were just, you know, two spheres, two like liquid ball bearings, basically.
Wow. Incredible sighting, Luke. And see, and what I enjoyed about hearing you say this, or tell us about the story, is your matter of factness about all of it. It's I felt like I was there, and the conviction, spot on the money. Thank you for sharing that with us. Let's go to Wildcard Tony, Fort Worth, Texas. Tony, you're up next on Coast.
Hi, Jimmy. How you doing?
Doing good, Tony. What's on your mind?
Very first time to speak with you. I've spoken with George quite a bit. I do astral projection. That's just something that I was kind of gifted with.
Right.
And it sort of, you know, in advance in my life. But I wanted to speak with you about something just briefly and get your opinion. You're talking about frequencies. I'm an electronic engineer, and I learned about, you know, frequencies in electronic engineering class, you know. So you realize frequencies can occupy, you know, different spaces or dimensions. Well, astral projection is sort of like that. You know, you're basically moving into another frequency, you know, in a place, you know, that is there. You just can't see it. But what I wanted to say is, even for myself, it's very demanding. You have to have not only your life right from stress and in your diet and any medications you take, things like that, but the really what I found, Robert Monroe was the one that really taught me the most, and I was in correspondence with him when he was living. I mean, if you know who I'm speaking of.
Of course.
He gave me some tips, but meditation and really just clearing the mind of thought is really tough. But that seemed to be the final thing that allowed me to do it. I guess what you call on demand, you know, where you lie down and you project.
Sure, sure. Well, Tony, I don't want to cut you off, but what's your question about it, though?
I think these people are very rare type people.
Right.
And I've called in, and I actually went to Area 51, floated down into one of their larger hangars, and described what I saw there. And I just thought maybe, you know, you should talk to some folks about maybe taking up a challenge. If you're a true astral projectionist, go and do and find some of these secrets. You know, I can't do it on my own. But, you know, oftentimes, you know, there's places I don't want to go, you know.
Yeah. Tony, there's a guy, and you should, he's been on the show with me in the past. His name's Jason Quitt. And his technique for doing it and his experiences and what he has seen, it just amazes me. It's astounding. And so you should go and check him out. Like I said, he was on Coast here with me a few months back, but just absolutely amazing. And he shares not only how he does it and his techniques, but also the things that he has learned. And you can check all of it out. Just go to Coast to Coast AM, look up Jason Quitt, click on his name, and go straight to his website and check it out. Great information that is there. Let's go to the Midwest. Wildcard, Deborah in Illinois. Deborah, you're up next on Coast.
Yes, Mr. Church, thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I'm listening to you guys talk, and I had an experience. It was before Honey, I Shrunk the Kids came out. But I had an experience one night, and I was in a deep meditation. My question on this is anybody out there know why would have even experienced something like this? But in this meditation, I started warbling. And then as I was warbling, I felt myself shrinking up. And next thing I know, I was in a dark night sky, and I looked around me at what I thought was a bunch of stars. But I realized I was one of them, but I think what I was a nucleus with an atom. And I just was wondering if anybody has any thought of why I would even experience. I tried to get that back later, never could get it back.
Right, right. I hate that when it happens. How long? Right. How long did it last?
It lasted. I'm thinking 15, maybe 10, 15 minutes. I was in a very deep meditation that night.
Right.
Right after that, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids came out. And I told my husband when we were watching, I said, see how they're warbling and they're shrinking up? That's what I experienced that night.
Wow. Deborah, what made you think that you were small instead of big?
Because that's what I was doing as this was taking place. My body felt like it was moving at a very high rate of speed in a warble type fashion, a circular motion. And as it was doing that, I was shrinking. The next thing I know, I'm in this night sky. And as I had sight, I had thought process. I knew I didn't have a body. But I looked around, and what I saw out of, oh my God, hundreds of thousands, what I thought were stars.
Wow, amazing, amazing. And you've never been able to go back?
Never gotten it back since. No, I didn't provoke that. I believe something, higher force, something allowed me to have that experience. But for what reason? I've had a lot of different things over the years, but it always sometimes leaves you with more questions than answers.
No, that's the way it goes.
I've seen tons of those. I've seen a lot of the orange orbs. Big time when my father was dying. They were all over the place at that point.
Yeah, orbs are real. Orbs are real. When you see, you know what's funny about that, Deborah, and it's, I want to thank you for the phone call, but when you see orbs for the first time with your eyeballs, not in a picture, not in a video, no, none of that, with your own eyes, then it's pretty funny. It's a pretty amazing experience. Thank you. Well, I wanted to ask you really quick, yes or no, if you could go back to being small again, would you do it?
Yes, because I felt, after I thought about it, after it happened, I thought it was kind of like where we end up, like it's kind of like our retirement home.
Right. It reminds me of, thank you for the phone call, Deborah. Thank you so much. Steve Martin once had a little comedy bit that he did called Let's Get Small. It's pretty funny. Anyway, let's go to first time caller line, Edward in Modesto, California. Edward, you're up next.
Hello.
Edward, what's on your mind?
Okay. In 1982, my father passed away in the morning.
Okay.
That evening, after dark, my daughter, my wife, and myself, we were sitting on the steps of our front porch when instantly all three of us looked up in the sky and we saw what we thought was a star. And it kept getting bigger and bigger, and like it was getting closer and closer, till eventually it was like a dome of white light completely surrounded us. And as soon as it hit the ground, to me it was gone. But to my daughter and my wife, they told me that to them, once it hit the ground, it moved off and became an orb of light about the size of a basketball and moved across the street. We lived across the street from a school, so it moved across the street to the parking lot and then instantly just vanished.
So you saw, just so I understand this, on the day that your father passed, you and your wife, your family, you're out in front of the house, and you see this, what you think is a star up in the sky. Well, it is a star, right? And it moved towards the house, got bigger and brighter, turned into a dome of light. You remember it disappearing, and then it shot across the street into the school, but it was the size of a basketball. That's pretty incredible. Now, do you think it had anything to do with your dad?
Well, yes, I do, because we were all pretty upset over my dad passing that morning.
Of course you were.
And as soon as it covered us, and it was gone, we all had a feeling of not really happiness, but a pleasant feeling. And
the anxiety. The anxiety was lifted, Edward.
Yeah, it was gone.
Right.
And I told my wife and my daughter, I said, this is the way it's supposed to be. Everything is how it's supposed to be. And everything is going to be fine. And we were, from then on, we were okay.
Yeah. Great, great experience and phone call. I don't like talking about too many personal things, but, you know, all of the anxiety that I had of things that I should or shouldn't have done or right or wrong with my mom always ate at me. But when she passed away last year, a year and a half ago, when she passed away, all of that anxiety left. I felt good. It was okay. You know, so there's a lot to be said with that, Edward. And thank you for the phone call. I'm going to go back out east. Let's go to Matt in New York. Matt, you're up next. What part of New York?
Holy cow, am I on the show?
Yeah, you're live right now, Matt.
Oh, hi.
I said, what part of New York?
Governor, Lisbon, upstate.
Okay, you're breaking up a little bit. What's on your mind?
Well, basically, I just wanted to testify to my experience. I've been listening to your show all night. And as you said, it's very personal. And, you know, seeing is believing, number one. You know, you can't really, words can't do it justice. These experiences, you know, they're too big.
Right.
Because it's everything. It's encompassing all that happens in the world.
Right.
There are no mistakes. Everything is as it should be. And, you know, wherever you end up is where you're supposed to be. So from birth, I had this inkling, this feeling in my brain that this was not as it seems. You know, something was amiss. And slowly as I grew, the experiences came. And, you know, I was, like you said, I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know until it hit me. And when it hit me like a brick. And, you know, I could see everything, the whole thing. You know, you can't explain it. And the people around me, you know, they guided me. You know, it's all very spiritual. And it chooses you, you know, it chooses you. It's from birth. You're born into it. And God, I've been listening to your show and it freezes me because I feel so alone, you know, in this. Once you experience it, what else is there?
Well, I always talk about that, Matt. It is a life-changing experience, you know, and once you, if you really think about this, the vast majority of the world, 7.5 billion people, a vast majority of it, don't have any clue about what we are talking about, but they also don't know a lot about a lot of things, you know, that they just don't experience. It's not just, you know, the supernatural or the paranormal or ETs or UFOs or conspiracy theory. You know, they don't know a lot. You know, they're so focused on their life trying to eat and pay rent that they don't have a clue. But once you do experience it for the first time, that's the life-altering experience. And you finally find out that there is something else out there and that you have been taught something different. And that's what's great about this show and taking phone calls on a Friday night. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. More phone calls are next. Stay with us. All right. Did you figure it out? Did you figure out the theme? No. It wasn't posted on Twitter at J Church Radio. The theme, life is never what it seems. That was it. And we have Lorcan on tonight. Lorcan O'Toole, certainly to present all of that. So that was the theme tonight. It's Friday night. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Now, I want to just say, if you enjoy me, if you enjoy when I host Coast to Coast, go and check out my show. It's called Fade to Black. Now, all you have to do is click on my name right there at Coast to Coast. Click on it. It'll take you over to my website. It's simple. 7 to 10 p.m. Monday through Thursday, live, we broadcast right before Coast. So that's the idea, right? You come over, you hang out with us. Great conversation, conspiracy and ufology, lost history, and all those great subjects. And then you roll straight over to Coast to Coast. So you get yourself 7-8 hours of good paranormal talk every single night of the week. So it's right there, Fade to Black. All right? With that, I'm going to get out of here so I can come straight back to the rest of your phone calls. So this is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, sitting in for George Norrie. It's Friday. Let's wrap up with your phone calls right after this short break. Stay with us. All right. Welcome back to Coast AM. Friday night, open lines. I'm going to go to Wild Card, and I'm going to go to Alex because it's from Indiana, and Indiana always goes to the front of the line. Alex, you're up next.
Hey, Jimmy. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely, Alex. What's on your mind this morning?
All right. So I want to share a story that's not mine, but my brother-in-law is a very reliable source, and it's right up your alley, the paranormal alley, you know?
All right.
And anyway, so when he was a child, him and his family, they moved into this house, and he was known in his family as like a sleepwalker. About every night, he would have this reoccurring dream, okay? My brother-in-law would have this dream to where he would go inside of his closet in his bedroom, and in the closet, he would meet this shadowy figure, okay? Now, the shadowy figure to my brother-in-law and his childlike mind, he just kind of always thought it looked like the Wicked Witch of the West, you know, just a little bit like that, and, but he never really saw his face, but the figure introduced himself as Joopy. And the conversation would always go like this, you know, how are you, how was your day, how you feeling, and it would always end with, your parents hate you, everyone hates you, you should kill them, you should kill yourself. It would get pretty heavy almost every night, you know, try to tear him down a little bit. Another night he ended up not in his closet, but he ended up having this dream where he was walking down the staircase downstairs and walked into the living room and saw his whole family just strewn all over the living room bed. Then he would look up and see Joopy over in the corner, and he would look down at his hands and he's holding a knife, and he woke up in that exact same room on the floor.
Wow.
Right after having that dream. And then often, his family members would just find him standing in the closet, you know, sleeping, like sleepwalking. So this happened a lot throughout his childhood. And as he grew up, this kind of went away, didn't happen as much, but he still felt like there was something, like some presence, like a looming over him or near him. He tried to ignore it and whatever. After a while, these memories started coming back of when he was a child and all the stuff that happened to him. And so he started looking into the name Joopy, and turns out, I guess it's this demon that some people have experienced with. And when he opened up that door, looking back into it that very same day, he had this, I guess you'd call it a lucid dream or something. He's laying down in his apartment, and he just got this sense that someone was there. So he just, his first reaction, he didn't know why, but he just shouted out, you know, who's there? And he just saw this hand with all these rings on the hand, on his ankle, and the voice just said, you know who this is.
The voice didn't say Joopy, though, did it?
It didn't. It just said, you know who this is.
Oh, okay. That would have been a whole nother ending to that story, Alex, right?
Well, maybe, but I think for me, it's even more creepy just thinking about the whole concept of you know who this is, just letting your mind wander, you know, and makes you think that it's maybe that person. And so I was also listening to another podcast, and they were talking about, I forget the demon's names, Incubus and Succubus, and they were telling the story about how they were in Peru one time, and only the one spoke Spanish, and the one didn't. And the guy that didn't speak Spanish got this phone call, and the only person that had his phone number was his wife. And so he answers the phone call, and it's this person speaking Spanish, and they were actually just talking about Incubus and Succubus. It was late in the morning, and he answers the phone. The person speaking Spanish, he doesn't speak Spanish, so he hands it to his partner, and so his partner's talking to the guy, and the guy's laughing on the phone, and he's like, he's like, who is this, and the voice just said, you know who this is.
Wow, very strange. Alex, your phone is breaking up a little bit, my friend, and I'm sorry about that, but you have to call back and tell us how that actually ends. Pretty fascinating. I need to go to east of the Rockies. Mark, Montreal, UFO sighting. Mark, you're up next.
1976, I came out of my house in summertime, July.
Right.
I was going to the corner store, and it was 9:30 at night. I heard like a hissing sound, like a hiss, like a, you know, I look up, Jim, and I see a flying saucer right over the street. Like, this thing was maybe 200 feet wide or whatever in circumference, with amber lights turning around it. And I was walking a bit forward. It was just going with me. Backed up, it backed up with me. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. You know, I could make out like metallic on it. All of a sudden, it just tilted upwards, okay, in midair, and it shot off into the stars.
This was in Montreal?
Yeah.
This was in Montreal, downtown?
No, it wasn't downtown. It was Montreal North. That's like a suburb of Montreal.
That's yeah.
Like one of the sections, one of the boroughs.
Right.
And it just like shot off into the sky. I mean, I was still in high school, and I looked up in books in the library and all that. But this thing was real, Jim. And
wow.
I tell people that, and they're like, oh, come on, that's impossible. I swear to God.
Wow.
I went over to Bonaventure Hotel in 1992. You know, on the roof there. I mean, people were swimming, the tourists or whatever.
Right.
This thing was right hovering over the city.
Wow, incredible. Every time I think of Montreal, I think of the La Montagne, right? The hotel downtown. Stayed there many times. And this little restaurant in North Montreal called the Tre Marie.
Now, wait, it's still there.
Just incredible. That was the best Italian meal I've ever had in my life. Owned by three ladies named Maria, right? Yeah. How cool is that?
Good restaurants there, you know. But you come to Montreal often, or?
I used to go there quite often, Mark. So the next time I'm there, let's hook up. I'll talk to you. We'll go to Tre Marie. All right, man. Great phone call. Let's go to let's mix it up. I want to go to first time caller. Let's go to Lisa in Branson, Missouri. You're up next.
Hello,
Lisa. You're up.
Hi. Okay, so I'm driving. It's late at night, but I turned on the radio and heard you guys, and I used to listen to you guys all the time. I've always had a question, and I've never been alone so that I could actually talk to anybody about it, but when I was young, just a child, my earliest memories,
right.
I had an entity that was always near me, always.
Did it have a name?
No name, never spoke to me, never anything.
How tall?
About 6'2". It was a man.
Whoa.
It was a man, no face.
Whoa.
No, it had a head, but there was no face on it. Like if you've ever seen those dolls with no face, you know, no eyes, no nose, just nothing. He always wore a red shirt and blue jeans. And I would tell my mom about it, and she was just like, oh, well, don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it.
Right.
And I said, I don't worry about it because, like, typically if I was doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing, I'd look up and there he was.
Wow.
And I knew, I better not do that. Or if I felt fear, I could look over. I knew he was there. I knew that this entity was always there.
Right.
And then as I got older, I started discounting it, you know, because you grow older and you find out that Santa Claus isn't real and all this other stuff, you know, you shouldn't believe in this and you shouldn't do that. So I started pushing this image aside, but I knew that there was still something watching me always.
Was it evil?
No.
Right.
This is the most comforting being I could ever have.
Right.
It's, you know, when I was younger, we also went to church, and I equated it at the time with an angel. Like, okay, so I have these angels, and I happen to be able to see mine. It would never speak to me. It would never, but there was always comfort. It was always there. And so as I've grown older and had children and had grandchildren now, I still have, I mean, so odd that there are times that I just look to the side because I feel like, oh, he's right there.
Lisa, really quick, because we're at the end of the show, but what I find interesting about that is if your children came to you or you heard a child relating a story like this, the last thing you would say is, it's your imagination.
Oh, yeah. No, my mother never told me. In fact, before she passed away, she told me he's all right.
Right.
It's okay.
Right.
And my great grandmother had said the same thing for me, not to believe what everybody said, just trust in what I know.
Right.
And I had never told her about it. But my question is to, I guess, the world, does anybody else have things like that? I mean, this is, I'm in my 40s now. This is so real to me that I couldn't imagine my life without knowing this. I mean, I've been through some really horrific things in my life, and
right.
It's always been a comfort.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I mean, do I think it's, I don't think it's abnormal. And the fascinating thing is, and just like you said at the beginning of the phone call, that you finally have a way to share it, and you've just shared it with like a million people at the same time.
Right.
So when you did it, you didn't play around. But I think if more people opened up about it, you know, and they listen to you, you know, call in, and they say to themselves, well, you know, yeah, I guess we would hear more. And
right.
I think that I'm not going to say that it's normal, but I think that a lot of people have these experiences. I haven't, not quite like that, but I probably had stranger things, but you know,
what I realized now is that I felt more peaceful when I was younger with this entity. And then when I started growing up and shutting it down and forcing myself not to see it,
right,
then I wasn't as peaceful in my life.
Right.
But when I opened my awareness of I'm not the only one here, this, we're not the only ones, there are greater entities, and for some reason, they're here to help, at least from my perspective, even when I've had traumatic things. If we would just open our minds to the fact that we have some sort of power to guide us, something that's trying to guide us, you know, no matter what you call that entity.
Right. Right. No, Lisa, you're absolutely right. And thank you for the phone call, and enjoy the rest of your now officially Saturday morning. The one thing that I've always wanted to enjoy as a parent, but it never happened, I wanted my daughters to come up to me when they were little and tell me about their secret friend, right, that hangs out with them and tells them, you know, it never happened. I never had that experience. And you hear parents talk about this, and you see things, you know, but no, I never had that experience. I so badly wanted to go and meet, you know, hey, you know what, honey? Yeah, take me in there. Introduce me to him. But it never happened. All right, let's go to the international line. Dana in Ontario, Canada. Dana, you're up next on Coast.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe.
No, believe.
I believe. Hi, Jimmy. I'm just astounded I got through. This is the first time I've ever called.
Well, there you go.
And I've been listening for a while. And anyhow, I'll cut to the chase. I've had lots of very paranormal experiences my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody believed me, and I finally had to be put on pills. And it was, some of the things that happened were very scary, like apparitions, you know?
Right.
And, well, I don't know if you'd call it a wonderful confirmation or not, but I finally had one of these things develop on my cell phone, on my photography.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It's confirmation that
right.
I'm not nuts, after all.
You're not nuts. Because, don't worry about it.
Well, yeah, because I'll tell you what happened. My cousin died a year ago.
Right.
And a month after he died, no, pardon me, I'll back up. I called him. I was thinking about him. I hadn't talked to him for, say, 6 months to a year, and I called him. And we had the most wonderful conversation, and then 2 days later, I get a phone call from his daughter that he had died that day that I called him.
That's how it happened,
and,
Dana.
And then, get this, and then a month later, I'm an artist, so I was taking a picture of a painting I'd done late at night.
Right.
And it was in this room, and it was lit up, but how can I explain it? The window was above the painting, so I kind of juxtaposed the painting to the window, because that's the way I wanted to shoot it. And I kind of sensed something was odd, but I took the picture. And when I saw it on my cell phone, the picture, it wasn't like it would have been me in the reflection holding the camera up. You
right,
get it?
Right.
In the window. And it wasn't me. It was a man with a beard.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
And I'm thinking that my cousin did have a beard sometimes, but it kind of scares me because.
Why would it scare you?
Well, because it happened over 1 o'clock in the morning, June 6, 2016, and I Googled it, and that's the coming of the Antichrist. So I'm not sure how to read this.
Oh, don't believe Google.
Well, I don't know if it's the second coming thing I'm getting away with.
Nah.
But then, you know, you had Peter O'Toole's son on, right?
Yep.
Talking about future incarnation, I'm thinking, like, I don't know, like, I've had Christian, very religious Christians tell me, you're not supposed to figure these out too hard.
No.
You're supposed to just accept it, you know?
Dana, we're at the very, very end of the show.
Yeah.
So just let me say this to you as I say good night and good morning to you. All right? When things are meant to happen, you'll know it. Don't go out there and try to find it on Google.
And I kind of think it was him because when I went to bed that night, I could feel something float over me, and there was a weight on the mattress.
Dana.
And then the next night, there were three things that happened.
I know, but Dana, it's the end of the show. Hey, have a great night, and I'd love to see that photograph one day.
I will. I'll send it to you over the web or whatever. Thank you so much, Jim.
Thank you, Dana. Great conversation. Thank you so much. And that, my friends, is going to wrap another Friday night right here on Coast. And as I start to head out of here, I got to thank Dan. I got to thank Donna for putting up with me one more night. We've got Mike here in training that messed up my video earlier tonight that I'm going to post tomorrow. Got to thank Chris, Greg, Stephanie, Lisa, and of course, George and Tommy. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Thank you. This has been another Coast to Coast AM. Go Beckley Tappy.